Our next speaker is Jack Gegenberg. He is a theoretical physicist, teaching in the math department at UMB since 1985. He was formed by activity in Students for a Democratic Society in the late 60s. He has emerged unhurt from a variety of political groups in subsequent years. These days, he is mostly involved in and orbit around Israel-Palestine issues, and has recently co-founded the Fredericton chapters of Jews for a Just Peace with Karen Pearlston. Jack Gegenberg will be talking this evening on Canada and the Middle East crisis.
I'm glad to see all of you here. When Israel invaded Lebanon last summer, many of us were shocked by the new Canadian government's ferocious support of the Israeli war machine and its activities in Lebanon, and also its activities going on at the same time in the Gaza Strip in Palestine. We began to ask, why did this happen? Was there some sort of a change in Canadian policy in comparison to previous years? Or is this really kind of more of the same, or a natural evolution of Canadian policy towards Israel in the Middle East? I suppose the question that many of us were asking, were we really as fair-minded, reasonable, and humane as we imagined that we were? Well, I'm going to try to partially address that, and the plan of my talk is as follows. First of all, I'm going to talk a little bit about the history of Canadian policy towards Israel in the Middle East prior to September 11, 2001, and then talk a bit about the shift that happened after that event. And I'll discuss why that shift occurred, or hopefully offer some suggestions about why that shift occurred. And finally, I'll conclude with a little bit of a discussion about whether or not there can be a change in government, Canadian government policy towards Israel. If so, what it should be, and how we can play a role in affecting that change. So let me start with the history of Canadian policy in the Middle East, especially Israel and Palestine. You can break it down into four periods. There's the pre-1947 period, then there's the period from 1947, the founding of the State of Israel, up to 1967, then the period between 1967 and September 11, 2001, and then from that until today. The pre-1947 period can be characterized as Zionism meets old-fashioned anti-Semitism. Canada followed Britain during that time in conditionally supporting the Zionist project of a Jewish homeland in Palestine. The elites in Canada and much of the West, that is the policymakers, the generals, the diplomats, didn't really like Jews very much, but in the end, they felt more comfortable with supporting the aspirations of Zionists, because after all, the Zionists were European white guys just like them, and they found it rather comforting seeing those people in a part of the world, the Middle East, the Orient, which was increasingly incomprehensible and threatening to them. Well, in 1947, and culminating in 1948, the State of Israel was born, and during the period for the next 20 years or so, that state was consolidated, became a powerful military machine, basically because of the support given to it, especially by the United States and also from Europe and Canada as well. And during that period of time, Canada and the rest of the West, of course, pretty much supported Israel, although in a little bit more nuanced way than they do today. Now, the Middle East was always seen as a problem. The West, after all, did not want to lose control of resources, especially Middle Eastern oil, to the Soviet Union. And there was a growing Arab nationalist movement in that part of the world. And the West, or at least the politicians in control in the West, saw that Arab nationalist movement as pro-Soviet and therefore very threatening. So Israel was seen as the defender of Western interests there. And this was not a very difficult sell in the West, because this period also marked kind of the end of old-fashioned Jew-hating in this part of the world, given the assimilation and upward mobility of Jews in this part of the world. And in fact, even most of the left was reasonably comfortable with Israel. After all, Israel, at least at that time period, had a rather brilliant social democratic facade. And also, it very successfully played up the image of itself as kind of a little David versus a great big Arab or Soviet Goliath. But mostly, what kept Western support and Canadian support for Israel as strong and as uncritical as it was the continual playing by the Israeli government and its supporters in the West of the Holocaust card. The Holocaust card made it almost impossible for Western governments to not support the ambitions and activities of the Israeli state. Nevertheless, Canadian support for Israel and its policies was nuanced. For example, in the Suez War of 1956, Canada was not very supportive of Israel's rather grand ambitions and worked to play down some of those things. Now, this all culminated in the 1967 war, and this can be characterized as Israel uber alles. At that time, Israel gained control of the rest of Palestine, because in 1948, when the State of Israel was created, only half of it was to be the Jewish state, roughly. The other half was supposed to be a Palestinian state. In the 1967 war, Israel got control not only of the remainder of Palestine, that is, the West Bank, the Gaza Strip, and the Golan Heights, but it even got control of the Sinai Peninsula, which was not part of that of the original Palestine that was created in 1948. Now, Canada, unlike the United States, did not support this land grab on the part of Israel. And in fact, Canada, again, unlike the United States, did not move its embassy to Jerusalem, which is where Israel relocated its capital from Tel Aviv after it conquered Jerusalem illegally in the 1967 war. In fact, Canada did not officially recognize Israel's occupation of the rest of Palestine. Now, all this began to change in the period after the 1967 war, between then and 9/11/2001. And the main factor involved here was the growth of Palestinian national movement, in particular the PLO, during this period. Now, Canadian policy towards Israel and the Middle East had a pretty much steady course, again, basically supportive of Israel, but somewhat nuanced and not hysterical. But the emphasis here is that it was basically pro-Israel. However, many people in Canada, and particularly Canadians on the left, began to change their views, began to see Israel in a slightly different light. And this is in a large part due to the growth of the Palestinian national movement. In particular, lots more Canadians were looking more favorably towards Palestinians' national ambitions, and or at least favorably toward a reasonable program of peace and reconciliation between Israel and the Palestinians. Now, this became even more accentuated when Israel invaded in 1980, or in the late 1970s, I guess it was 1982 actually, invaded Lebanon in order to smash the PLO, which had set up headquarters in Beirut. Now, at around this time, because of the ferocity of Israel's occupation and because of the Lebanon War, a serious peace movement against the occupation and against Israeli militarism began to grow in Israel itself, and even in the Jewish community outside of Israel. And that split continued over the question of the continued occupation of Palestine by the Israelis versus some sort of a settlement with the Palestinians. Some sort of a two-state solution was what was talked about most often during that period. In fact, there were peace initiatives by the Israeli government under some pressure from the United States and other superpowers, and these peace initiatives essentially failed. And as a result of that, there was a growing revolt in the occupied territories against the Israeli occupation. And this further split the left in Israel and outside of Israel over the question of the occupation. But towards the end of this period, the United States, which had been somewhat supportive of peace initiatives, completely identified its interests with those of the Israeli right in support of the occupation. Now, this we finally come to the period of from 9/11/2001 to the present, and this, of course, is the period of the U.S. proclamation of the War on Terror, and that resulted in the ongoing invasions and occupations by the United States and its allies of Afghanistan, which we just heard about from Jeff, and also of the brutal occupation and destruction of Iraqi society, and increasing belligerence towards other actors in the Middle East, in particular Syria, but especially Iran. Israel, on the other hand, was seen increasingly as the outpost of democracy in the Middle East. The Palestinians were simply characterized monolithically as terrorists, the enemy in the new way of viewing the world. And this is especially so after the Hamas electoral victory a while ago. Israel itself, under the Sharon government, began to change its policy. Instead of trying to find Palestinians, instead of trying to start some sort of a peace process in negotiation with the leadership of Palestinians, it engaged in the process of unilateral disengagement. And what this did was to institutionalize the splitting of the occupied territories into non-viable Bantustans, brutally roamed over by the Israeli military. There were no more negotiations with Palestinians. As the Israelis put it, and the Americans and their Canadian apologists echoed, there was no Palestinian partner for peace. Israel invaded Lebanon again last summer and engaged in an ever more brutal war in the occupied territories, especially in Gaza, and against all factions, not just Hamas, but all factions, even the secular ones, in the Palestinian resistance. And for this, they get blanket and uncritical support by Canada. Now I want to talk a little bit about some of the factors that affected this shift after 9/11/2001. So, stop.
Lots of time. Nope.
Okay. the main factor that led ultimately to the uncritical support by Canada of the occupation of the territories in Palestine was the end of the Cold War back in the late 80s and early 90s. This was the world triumph of capitalism as proclaimed by the leaders of the West. The leaders in the Western world and the corporations and their apologists in the media and the academy saw the globalization of capital as the future of the world. But there was an opposition to this globalization, an opposition that came from the left, as well as from anarchists and environmentalists and native and peasant movements and others. In fact, this is such a diverse occupation, opposition to globalization that the states and the corporations couldn't really mobilize effectively against it. There wasn't a single identifiable enemy like there was during the Cold War when it was the communists or previously when it was the Nazis or the fascists. That is, there was no such enemy until 9/11/2001. And now a new enemy was proclaimed, and that enemy was the world terrorist bloc of jihadist Muslims. Now, the ground for this was already worked by the Christian right in the United States, who had religious reasons for preferring a triumphant Israel to a mostly Muslim Palestine. And what grew was an unholy alliance of the Christian right and the neoconservative movement, both in the United States and in Canada, and especially in the English-speaking countries. And in particular, there were lots of Jewish ideological heavyweights or heavy hitters involved in the neoconservative movement who lent their support to the Christian right in this coalition. And this coalition built a case for Israel as sort of commandos fighting behind enemy lines in the Mideast theater of the war on terror. The Bush government was a neoconservative Christian right coalition, and the newly elected Harperoids in Canada were precisely that same ilk. In fact, in Canada, the situation became even more difficult because a group of very powerful and influential people in the Jewish community, for example, Heather Reisman from Indigo Books, and Jerry Schwartz, an industrialist, and others, basically managed to stage a takeover of all the mainstream Jewish organizations in Canada, which had some influence with the Jewish community and ultimately on the Canadian government. And the result of this was the growth of something like the AIPAC in the United States, which forced out all the other voices except their own. And these voices said that not only must Canada support Israel uncritically, it must support the right within Israel. That there is no partner for peace, especially after the Hamas elections in the occupied territories. And that all Jews in Canada and all over the world and in Israel are on side with this. That was the line that was pushed by these by this newly influential group, which managed to dominate the Jewish community in Canada. And as a result of this, the Canadian government felt even more compelled to lend uncritical support towards Israel. And it happened even before Harper's government was elected. In fact, it probably even began during the Chrétien government, but it certainly accelerated during the Paul Martin Liberal government. But the new conservative government in power now is a zealous ally of Bush and Blair and all the other triumphalists in the Anglo-Saxon world. So the question now is, what can we possibly do about this? how can we change this? Well, there's a large group of us here, and hopefully we're the first wave of something which is going to sort of sweep over the world and result in stopping this the forces of you know, global corporate capitalism and militarism that are currently dominating and making life so miserable for so many people in the world. Now, it's unlikely that a liberal government in Canada would return to a more even-handed, let alone an anti-occupation position. So what it's our task to convince our government that Israel, like South Africa, is effectively an apartheid state. Israel's occupation of Palestine, in fact, has created this effective apartheid state. Now, South African apartheid fell only after international pressure, including an international boycott, forced that regime to abandon its policies of apartheid. This would be the first step, then, that has to begin now. We have to begin the process of a community which is in favor of a boycott Israel campaign, boycotting Israel corporations, Israeli academics, is in as much a way as we possibly can. Hopefully this would culminate in the sort of international boycott backed by Canada and the international community that can force Israel to stop its occupation and finally conclude a just peace with the Palestinians. Thank you.